This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And I have a little riddle for you that I'm not going to tell you the answer to till the very end of the show. And that is, how many police officers does it take to catch a pig, a runaway pig? Now, I'll give you a hint. This is somewhere in America, in a fairly large city, a fairly well-trained police force, I would imagine. So, how many police officers does it take to catch one pig? Well, we'll talk about that at the end of the show. All right, so as you probably know, I often talk about tool use like it's a big deal, because it is a big deal. People for centuries have decided that whatever we do well is the barometer to measure all other species by. And then we come up with something like changing our environment or tool use. And then we look at all the other animals and say, well, they don't do it like we do it, so they don't do it, so they're not as smart, so we can eat them or abuse them or use them or whatever. Anyway, so that's the rationale behind all these tests and studies. But sometimes, even though we've set the test so impossibly hard for another species, instead of saying something like, well, dolphins communicate with sonar, do humans communicate with sonar? No, therefore, they should be able to enslave us. We don't do it that way. We never do it that way. We always come up with a test that we're good at, and then we test everything else with our limited means of testing also. So if we're good verbal communicators, that's the only kind of communication we then test for. And we say species are non-communicators or simple communicators if they don't read and write and speak like we do, which is, again, with the dolphins and the whales, they could be speaking in math for all we know. They could be speaking so much more sophisticatedly than we ever did and probably are. And I got a few other points on why I think animals are better communicators than humans. But at any rate, one of the things, we'll talk about that later. I'm just going to make a note on that. Communication, so I don't forget. Okay, so one of the things we like to say is that humans make tools and no other species does. Well, this isn't true. For one thing, orangutans can use any tools we have. So in a zoo setting, in a setting where there's orangutans in captivity, they actually, like in prison, they have to count the tools and recount them when you leave. Because if you leave a screwdriver or a drill bit or anything in that pavilion, when you leave, the orangutan will find it and he might disassemble his entire cage. It's happened. So they're better at these using our tools than we are, even. So that tells us something. But some animals actually make tools. And crows are a good example. The corvid birds, those birds that are considered the smartest of birds and cunning birds. And they really are a good example. So we're going to go back to that. I'm going to write a little note, crows, because I want to mention them too, because they've been in the news, the crows. But even a simple tool, I think, changing an environment and making a tool. I have an example I posted on my Facebook site, Deb Wolf Pet Expert. Really simple example. It's just a pet poodle. And she does this often. She goes where she wants. She finds where there's the thickest, longest blanket possible. She gets up there and she scrunches it all up and moves it so it makes her own dog bed. So she is both changing her environment and using a tool. Now, I've seen dogs cover other dogs with a blanket. I've seen dogs carry a blanket over to cover another dog. This is tool use. Absolutely. And creating a bed out of a blanket is both making a tool or using a tool as well as changing your environment. So take that, scientists who like to think that animals aren't good at things that we're good at. Well, let's go to the crows. I want to talk about that before we go to break. There's some amazing things going on in Europe with these birds. So in Vancouver, Canada, we find them to be a nuisance, especially in spring, because they like to be in populated areas and they get very protective over their nests. And so they will swarm people and they will swoop down and attack people. And there's certain blocks with posted signs saying, be careful, the crows are here. And sometimes they will find a particular person who maybe didn't react well to this swooping and then remember them because they have facial recognition. probably better than I do. I can't remember names. I look at people, I go, I know I've met you, but I have no idea who you are. Well, the crow remembers that you swatted at it or that you were angry and you flailed your umbrella in its direction by surprise or whatever. It remembers. So talk about smarts. Anyway, we have a lot of problems with these crows. And there's loads and loads and loads of them. And they sometimes, it's called a murder of crows, not a flock. They sometimes gather in these huge, huge numbers. It feels so ominous when they all gather in one area. And there's roosting areas in town near Burnaby Lake where they like to be. And you'll see them coming in at night. And it looks like an Alfred Hitchcock movie. It's quite terrifying. But and beautiful at the same time, because they are smart and they are beautiful and they're experts at flight and the coordination and, well, here we go again, the communication between them to travel like that and get along like that. It's just amazing. It thwarts what we do as humans. But besides all that, the crows are being used very clever ways in Sweden and in Paris. And what they've done is they've set up these little dispenser machines, sort of like the ones when I was a kid, you used to put a penny in or a nickel and you would go click, click, click and turn the dial around and then a little gumball would come out the bottom. You know those kind of machines, the little gumball machines, or maybe licorice candies, or maybe a bubble, like a little plastic bubble with a prize inside with a ring or something. If you put a quarter in it, it would click. Anyway, so those it's that type of mechanism, sort of, but instead of putting a coin in, if the bird puts in Sweden its trash, in Paris along the most beautiful boardwalks, they're using cigarettes. So if the crow puts a cigarette in the machine, or in Sweden, if the crow puts trash in the machine, and I've noticed some magpies picking it up too. I saw them in the videos. So it's spreading. Again, communication. Birds are telling each other and they're telling other birds and everybody's watching and learning. All things we say animals can't do in some of our studies. But so what they're doing is they put the garbage or the icky, disgusting cigarette butt into the machine and they get a treat. They get birdseed. And so they're cleaning up the streets. They've become like the cleanout crew. It's absolutely amazing. What a clever thing to do. I think we should do that here. All right, everybody, we're going to go to break and come back. And I want you to keep considering how many police officers to catch one pet pig. Okay, stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. We'll be back soon.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello. We're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. And I do want to talk about communication a little bit since we already touched on it. Sometimes we think, okay, dogs maybe communicate danger, maybe even specific danger. Postman coming, a bear, you know, a level of danger, right? High alert danger, medium alert danger, low alert danger. We give them credit for that. We give them credit for quite a few things, but they have been proven to understand, the smartest of dogs tested, 300 different commands. So if they can receive 300 commands, why wouldn't they be able to communicate 300 different ideas? And when you watch dogs with each other, they're just at a glance. They communicate, let's go, or let's stop, or run away, or I'm afraid, or I'm happy, or I'm going to fight with you, or whatever it is. And some of it's body language, sure. And some of it's smell, absolutely. And some of it's hearing, all that's involved. But what else? Because there's more to it than that. Now, I did a little experiment myself years and years and years ago when I was in college with my roommate. And we shared this big black dog that was part wolf and part, who knows, border collie lab, I don't know. He had pointy ears and he was about 70 pounds and he'd been passed around at a student house. And then I met him and took him in. And so we were living together, a really nice, swanky house, actually, we were renting. And the people would come back once in a while and live in the nice part of the house. And we were renting the extra rooms. And so we had it to ourselves almost all the time with this dog, big yard, lovely. Anyhow, so she and I, we both love this dog. And we set up an experiment where I was lying on top of him, which he loved. And she would give me the thumbs up or the thumbs down, barely moving her hand. So the dog wouldn't hear any noise and he wouldn't sense any change. When she moved her thumb just slightly up, I would start to think love thoughts. I love you, Mike. You're such a good dog. I love you. I love you. I love you. And when she turned her thumb down, I would just stop. And literally every time he would start moaning and making all these happy sounds when I was thinking, good dog, I love you, I love you, I love you. And the second I stopped, his noise would stop. Now, you may not think that's evidence enough. You may think he actually heard the movement of her thumb, the millimeters it went, the tiny fragments of an inch in the air. Maybe, maybe. But let me just tell you, when I've been dog training all these years, one of my secrets that I'm happy to share, but people don't seem to take it on, so it's still a secret, is that when you're working with a dog, what you picture mentally really, really matters. Now, it partly matters because it affects how you stand, right? Just like when you're golfing or riding a horse or something like that, what you're looking at matters. What you're thinking about doing matters because it affects your posture and your stance and where the ball will go, right? It's the same kind of thing when you're working with a dog. So if you're thinking, don't jump on me, your posture shows that. If you're thinking, heel with me, your posture shows that. So some of it is posture. But I've done experiments where I have stayed perfectly still and done nothing different. The only thing different was what I was picturing in my head. And when I picture the dog doing what I want him to do, 9 out of 10 times, he just does it. Especially if I've been training him, then it's 10 out of 10 times. And when I picture the dog doing what I don't want him to do, like, oh no, please don't jump on me. If I picture that, 9 out of 10 times, he'll do exactly that. So I believe dogs receive picture thoughts from us all the time. I believe they send them to each other, to other animals. I believe that's why they're so able to read each other. You could drop a dog down in any country in the world, and he will be able to communicate with the other dogs and the wolves and the coyotes. And if he's had any experience with cats, he'll know cat language, even though he's not a cat, and cats don't speak the way dogs do. Cats are the same, right? They can speak with any feline. And if they know dogs, they can speak with any dog. That's cross species. If you drop a dog in a new home that doesn't speak the language he's grown up with, it takes him about 24 hours to learn basic commands if he's bright. That's it. It would take me way longer in some kind of Berlitz, you know, German, French, whatever, immersion course. It would take me way longer. So I think they're master communicators. And I think one of the reasons is they receive picture thoughts. Now, just like in humanity, there's lots of differences, right? Some people dream in color. Some people don't. Some people see in color. Some people don't. Some people have perfect pitch. Some people are tone deaf, right? Our senses aren't all the same. And some people can think in pictures. Some people can't. Well, animals can. That's my assertion. Take that, science. All right, we're going to get a break and come back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. But I will solve the riddle. How many cops does it take to catch a pig? After the break, stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem, but the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5-mile walk.
She is just like prime again. call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's CARNIVORA.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello. We're back on Animal Party on Pet Life Radio, and I want to say one more thing about communication. Another thing we like to say is that animals only react on instinct, that they don't teach each other, you know, generation to generation, door to door. What we like to think as the intelligence of humanity built on hundreds, thousands of years of learning. We store it in books and we learn it. True, they don't write it down. No, they don't. But somehow they communicate it. And I can give you a really good example. There was a study done by the scientists in their cruel way. They taught some rabbits not to like raspberries. It was a specific berry, but let's just say it was raspberries. So they taught these rabbits not to like raspberries, okay? The way scientists do, with nasty shocks and such. All right. So then these rabbits were exposed to a new generation of rabbits. And the new generation that was exposed to the rabbits who were shocked when they ate raspberries also would not go near raspberries, despite everything instinctive in them that tells them this smells and tastes, you know, it looks like food, it smells like food, it acts like food. Don't eat it. So they wouldn't eat it either. But remarkably, the next generation, the generation that never met the generation that was shocked, also won't eat raspberries. So you tell me, how is that specific fear being communicated? It tells us a lot, doesn't it? Is it in the genes? Is it in the bones? Is it in the body? Is it in the brain? Is it in the story? I don't know exactly, but some way or another, huge trauma to one generation travels through the generations. And this example of the rabbit study has been used to try to understand a variety of human tragedies, like the trauma to grandchildren of Holocaust survivors, or the trauma to grandchildren, great-grandchildren of, or even children of reservations and forced adoptions, and what they called the 60s sweep, when they took First Nations kids, Aboriginal kids from their homes, and put them in these residential schools and force them to be adopted. Anyhow, so these traumas do transcend, even when the generation isn't exposed to the generation that was harmed. It's very interesting. And in animals, there's communication. There just has to be. Okay, so today's show has been a lot about communication, and I wanted to talk about marine land, but I think I'm going to talk about that next week. Talk about marine land next week, because it's kind of off topic now. There's a bird in Vancouver that has never been seen before anywhere in North America, and it's only supposed to be in Russia and China. So they think it either got lost or got in a storm, or who knows, maybe it's a new pattern, because birds do change their migration routes sometimes. We have swans up here that we're not supposed to have because there was some lead poisoning in Washington State that made it impossible for them to live there. So now we get swans, which is a happy ending for us. But especially when you drive by and there's this little bay or part of a river and you look down and you see the usual ducks and birds. And then there's two magnificent, gleaming, white, gigantic birds floating around. And they do mate for life. So they're quite a symbol of romance. Beautiful birds. Anyway, thanks Washington State for the swans. The Washington State is sending us birders right now. People who love to look for birds are coming up to Canada. And this bird has never been seen in Canada or the U.S. I saw it, footage of it. I'm going to tell you, it's not a bird I'd notice. It's kind of brown. It's kind of small. But apparently it's a big deal. It's a taiga flycatcher. And it's at Sunset Beach, which is the big downtown beach in Vancouver. Lovely beach. And Yeah, it's people are coming from as far away as Washington State and Alberta and all over the world to see this bird. So I guess it's from Russia with love. All right, everybody. I will now solve the problem. Here we go. How many policemen does it take to catch a pet pig? Five. Five policemen and one conservation officer. And the footage is hysterical if you can find it on YouTube. It's really funny. This pig evades one officer, and then they call him back up, and there's two, and then they call him back up, and there's three, and then there's four, and then there's five. And then the conservation officer comes, and in the end, they catch the pig. The pig is unharmed, but it takes five plus one to catch a pig. All right, everybody, from me, Dove Wolf, Animal Party, and Pet Life Radio, ciao, meow. Be good to your animals.
Let's Talk Pets. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.